the nonprofits. Captain's log 2266.7. Beam down to primitive backwater planet Theus IV with science officer Jeff D. and Dr. Tracy Harris. According to the natives, we're in the land of Austin, Texas, and it's the 21st of August, 2012. They're superstitious, so I'll have to give them a long, hard taste of my prime directive. We're going to tell them all about our sponsor, the Atheist Community of Austin, a nonprofit educational organization for the promotion of positive atheism and the separation of church and state, and drag their primitive asses into the 22nd century. This may take some time, so we'll be filing new log entries on the first and third Wednesdays of each month at 7 to 8:30 Central Time. Dennis Lubay out.
Awesome. I like how your starship captain is. What is that, a Bronx? That's not Bronx. It's, what is that? Jersey.
Well, it was...
A Jersey accent?
Well, it's based on the guy out of... I can't remember his name. Out of Futurama.
Oh.
The spaceship captain.
Oh, that guy.
Yes.
Sure.
Ridiculous spacecraft.
Was it 2012 on purpose?
There. That's Kiff, his sidekick. His,
Yes.
Okay. Hi, everybody. We're the nonprofits.
Oh, 2013. Yes, I was wrong. I had the year wrong.
That's star date, though. That's not the year.
Okay. I thought it was going to maybe go into some future thing, so.
No.
It's Pastorama, is what it is. Hi, everybody. We have me, Jeff D., Dennis Lupe,
yay,
Tracy Harris joining us today. Russell,
yes,
is out at a family event and just couldn't do it, so...
So what's Martin Wagner's excuse?
Martin couldn't be reached in time on short notice, and that's fine. We have a full crew. We're on our way.
He's in the brig.
All right. In the brig!
So, Tracy, could you please scan for news items?
Sure, and I'm getting a
get
reading
here,
on Lifeform. Right. It seems that we've got some fading rats, I think.
What is that?
Apparently...
Picking up rats on the long-range scanner?
Yeah, but the brain scans are going in and out. I'm seeing some very faint life readings, but they're acting a little weird. So apparently what we've got here is that scientists now are starting to find evidence of near-death experience.
In rats.
Yeah, in rats.
In rats.
Rats.
Rats go to heaven. I saw that movie.
That's the thing. I mean, the afterlife apparently is going to be filled with vermin.
Uh-huh.
have no idea.
I know that there are people who have, like, pet rats and things, and I honestly,
sure,
I have no problem with rats. I'm not
But these weren't somebody's
right,
pet
right.
rats.
Well, these were lab rats, and unfortunately...
Apparently, you can bring your pet rats and also your lab rats with you to heaven.
Yeah, yes. Well, all the rats are going to go, or at least, I guess, 20% of them that have heart failure, if it's the same as the people.
So if you feel like a lab rat here on Earth,
yeah,
you'll feel at home in heaven.
What is the evidence, then?
Well, I'm looking now. So if you could see what I see on the scanner,
uh-huh,
there are, like, a half, well, maybe, like, eight little pictures of, MRI sort of brain scan images showing brains lit up in different ways, and the little rats, when
on
they...
On screen.
Yeah.
See, there. Now, we can all see it, but that's just a little theater for the people listening to the show, since we have no... We have no video.
It looks like an asteroid with lava
after
inside.
they have what's called clinical death, is when your heart stops and things kind of stop.
Yeah.
And then, of course, your brain sort of goes on for a little bit after that, because your brain doesn't start to die until it realizes it's not getting oxygen anymore, and there it goes. So once your brain cells in your brain die, then they call that, biological death. That's when you're dead and you're not coming back.
Right.
But when you're clinically dead, you can still come back. It's just that your heart has stopped, you're not breathing, all the little vital functions have just ceased. But that's when you would do CPR and try to bring somebody back. So now what's going on is they've found that while they thought the brain just kind of slowly died, there's apparently this huge burst of brain reaction that happens after a few seconds. I think it was like 30 seconds or so. And
after the blood flow stops and stuff like that?
Yeah, they're saying that this actually could induce kind of like a an organized brain state that isn't just whack, that it's actually your brain sort of trying to reboot, that it it indicates a high level of brain activity that, you know, just like, almost, I guess, like your brain trying to kickstart, and it's...
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, they know, with these rats, when they have their near-death experience, do they see religious figures from the religion in which they've been raised?
Rat Jesus was reported.
Or if we're rebooting our brains, yeah. So they see blue.
There was a few that saw Rat Buddha, and... No, but they did say that this could account for all kinds of weird visions and sensations because it's lighting up all kinds of centers of your brain. So, yes, it appears that what they called it was, at near death, many known electrical signatures of consciousness exceeded levels found in waking states, suggesting that the brain is capable of well-organized electrical activity during the early stage of clinical death. Of course, then when your brain just dies, there's no more activity. So that's kind of
I'm not sure if that connects for me. Well, organized brain state does not, to me, sound like one where you're having all kinds of like dream images and. Things,
well, they're saying well organized electrical activity, but yeah. They're seeing it light up in a lot of
random,
different places.
So
there could be images of
you
some
could,
kind.
Yeah, if your visual centers are lighting up, you could be seeing
just,
things.
And not just, you know, static or a blue screen of death.
Right. Or the light.
But, of course, to the theist population, this is eminently spinnable.
Now, wait a minute. Is it? Why?
Well, sure.
Because there's proof that there's something
you're
going
launching,
on.
Yeah. It takes a big bunch of energy to launch your soul out of your brain
They'll
into heaven.
And I love, you're right, and I love how, you know, that suddenly will become a thing.
Yeah, sure.
Once they know that it exists, when for thousands of years they've been claiming that your soul's going on to the next world.
Yeah.
Without and no
burst
any,
of energy.
Without any burst of energy in the brain.
And the good news is the rats will all be there.
In the brain.
And the rats will be
That's somewhat awesome. Is there any commentary by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross or any of those pricks?
No, I don't think I have anything like that. The only quotes were, it also provides the first scientific framework for near-death experiences reported by many cardiac survivors, and the team's latest study, quote, will form the foundation for future human studies investigating mental experiences occurring in the dying brain, including seeing light during cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
Go in.
Now, they have, here's the dots they need to connect. They've got technology now where they're able to actually get blurry images from people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? From, like, directly from their brains.
Yeah, there was an article recently.
So they need to hook that technology up to this technology.
There you go.
Catch somebody dreaming about the tunnel and Jesus and mom and dad. And that will be the... That would be the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Did anybody bring the news story about the skeptical activist in India who got shot?
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I posted that on a share, but I didn't bring it.
Do you remember the details?
I don't. It was,
no,
it
I don't
was on
either.
One of my
I feel terrible.
Like pages.
I just posted a snide comment on the Atheists and Nonprofits Facebook page, I think, saying I guess they couldn't find any magic bullets to kill him with. But I don't even know if that has anything to do with it. It could have just been a random shooting incident. I don't know what the news story is about.
Mm.
Darn. Mm. Well, that's a thing those of you out in the rest of the galaxy can check on your computers.
Working.
Wow.
Had to sneak that in there somehow.
So, I got something.
Oh, yeah?
I got a news story.
Oh,
I'm picking up a coded transmission, Captain. And it's some video of the Pope, and he's up there. And, he's picking his... he's eating it! yes, ladies and gentlemen, there is video... There is video on YouTube of Pope Francis picking his nose and eating it. tinyurl.com/popenose. N-O-S-E.
Let's see if we can drive those hits up.
this is childish and stupid, right?
Of course.
And this doesn't mean anything, but...
It's the new sacrament.
How can we not cover this?
Yes. How can you not wallow in something childish?
This is a guy, of course, who has the authority to be infallible when he's sitting in his big special chair. Mm-hmm. Right?
He can apparently also be bored.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We're receiving a transmission. We're getting a transmission now. It's from the Vatican.
Yes. Put it on the speaker.
This is the Pope. I've just been informed that you are covering this story about me eating my boogers. What is wrong with you? You know, this has nothing to do with anything, right? This is just, I'm just a man.
But it's fun.
I'm a man. I've got the big hat. You know, I've got the millions of people praying in my name, right? I judge other people. I pick my nose and I eat my boogers. It is true. You know, you're just standing at the communicator screen. This is amazing, this subspace radio technology. I can speak to you all the way from Earth. What is wrong with the eating of the boogers? That is what I want to know. You know, you are attempting to make me embarrassed that I have been caught on film doing this thing. It is a natural problem. Did not God give us the nose? Yes. Nose is a gift from the Lord God. Did not the God give us the finger? Yes. And does not the finger fit perfectly inside the nostril? This is the atheist's nightmare.
I was going to say, this is Ray Comfort. He's pooing us.
No, it is me. This is the Pope. In boots. I am not embarrassed. I am the people's pope. I am a pope of the common man. And the common man picks his nose. I, the pope, pick my nose. What is to be embarrassed about? Huh? Who are you to judge?
It's a bad habit.
Yes, you are referring...
A bad habit. You are supposed to display... superhuman self-control.
You are referring now to something about nuns? I don't understand. There is nothing embarrassing. You atheists, you just like to make the fun. I am taking steps in the Vatican now we shall have a new sacrament. This bread, the body of Jesus Christ, the wine, his blood, the raisins, his boogers.
Don't go there.
This is gold raisins, not the...
You do not go there. You are atheists. You would not set foot in the Catholic Church and take the sacrament. You would not be allowed to take the sacrament. You would steal the bread, yes, take it back and desecrate it on a video. That is what you would. You also grab a handful of the raisins and go running off to make fun of what is right and holy.
Okay, I think we're going to have to cut off communications with the Pope here. This is just too disturbing. Thank you, Your Holiness, or whatever.
Great demonstration.
Wow. That was really uncomfortable.
Yes, it really was. Nobody likes to talk about this. Yet we go
on. Pope Francis, he was into it. He didn't have,
shoves whole fist right.
Yeah, we all have to ask.
It's like the thing. It's like the thing with the with the protecting of the pedophiles, right? I mean, there's no embarrassment shown.
Right.
Okay.
What's wrong with the pedophilia? Perfectly natural act. Anything.
I'm just surprised he didn't blame the boogers.
He blames the gays for the boogers.
Wow. So there's this judge in Tennessee that took exception to a couple naming their little boy Messiah. Everybody seen this story?
Oh, yeah.
It's been on the news. Newport, Tennessee, I guess. Mother is appealing court's decision after a judge ordered her son's name to be changed from Messiah.
For a purely, perfectly secular reason, right?
Well,
I don't know how to use that word.
I think the judge did indicate that she was worried about the kid, but there was a couple problems with that. It's like, number one, she gave another quote that I think starts on page one.
The quote is, Messiah is a title, and it's a title that has only been earned by one person, and one person, that one person is Jesus Christ. Yeah. So, sure, because of the judge's religious beliefs, she used her state authority to override a parent's decision about what to name their child.
Yeah, it's nuts. And then went on to say that it was a concern about the child and what would happen because of the name is so rare.
Which is that same crap we've heard before about gay people, right?
Right.
Oh, the gayness is bad. You don't want your child to grow up gay because they'll be so mistreated by society. Well, the person talking is one of the people in society that's going to mistreat them.
Right.
Right? It's their responsibility to freaking behave themselves.
Sure. Yeah. And this name has been gaining popularity. It's like spiking.
Yeah,
popularity.
There's Tracy was so kind as to bring in a chart. Why I wonder. I mean, so it's Messiah popularity and rank.
Usually someone famous names their kids something and then everybody jumps on that. I don't know who started the trend, but yeah, it's got this like
It was God, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't do it in 2011 though, which is when the jump occurs in popularity.
Well, it's just according to the chart in 2008 it was ranked at number 704 in popular, I guess, male baby names, and now in 2013 it's like jumped up to 302, which it's still not way up in the top
302 what in the U.S.
popularity? U.S. Population. And so that it's gone from 704 to 302, which that
so
is
one
only.
In 704 to one in 302.
No, they rank the baby names in popularity. Like most babies are named number one.
Oh, it's
and most
number.
Babies,
it's where it falls on the charts.
Right.
Okay,
so what they're saying is that it was at the 704 slot in 2008, and it's now at the 302 slot. So it's
more than twice as high on the chart.
There's a little chart that shows a big spike.
Now, that would be freaking awesome if it got up to, like, 3 or 4, and then Jesus does return, and there's, like, I'm the Messiah. What do you mean? And I know 8 people named Messiah.
Yeah. Where's the guy that picks his nose? We have to ask somebody. He's going to sort this out.
I can ring him up if you want.
He would sort it out.
If you want Pope Francis's input on this.
Not on this, but when we get into the Messiah confusion later.
Sure. Well, that's interesting. Sure, because big church organizations are going to be the ones that give themselves the authority to identify people just named Messiah from the one who really is. Don't the parents who are naming their children this, who I presumably are religious?
Well, she said she just liked it.
Really?
Yeah, she just thought, like, she had 2 little boys already with M names that start with M, and she thought Messiah was pretty, and so she picked it.
Jaquiza Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And the father of Messiah.
Joseph.
It doesn't say.
No, there is no father. That's the amazing.
There's no father. So it's God.
No,
right.
That was the excuse last time. Yeah.
Wow. Could not agree on a last name, which is how they ended up in a child support hearing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the judge then proactively decided the first name was no good.
Oh, good grief. Wow. Well.
Crazy.
What else we got?
Well, let's see.
Are you prepared to jump into that one?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Apparently, using advanced technology, an angel priest visits a Missouri accident scene.
Then this is news. Why?
Well, he beamed in and then beamed out.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Wait, you said age-old technology.
No, I said advanced technology.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
I misunderstood.
That's okay.
Apparently, emergency workers and community members in eastern Missouri are not sure what to make of a mystery priest who showed up at a critical accident scene Sunday morning and whose prayer seemed to change life-threatening events for the positive. Yeah. Even Otter, the Black Garb priest, does not appear in any of the nearly 70 photos of the scene of the accident in which the 19-year-old girl almost died. No one knows who the priest, and he vanished without a word.
Okay. So, who is claiming to have seen him?
Well, let's see.
The accident victim herself?
There was apparently a traffic accident.
Yeah.
Between a with a Mercedes that ended up colliding with another vehicle and ended up crushed into a ball of sheet metal.
Ew.
Apparently, there's Reed. Reed's team and emergency workers from several other jurisdictions tried for at least 45 minutes to remove the twisted metal from around the person, but they had to tilt it on its.
Yeah.
Get it upright so that they could do it, but that was going to be a dangerous maneuver for the person trapped in the wreckage.
Right. And so some strange, wandering stranger showed by and, like, ripped the... it's Bill Bixby, dude.
No.
It could be.
No, they didn't actually do that.
Okay, sorry.
She wanted someone to pray with her.
The girl trapped in the wreckage was facing... problems. So they said at that point the Reed's team agreed to take the life-threatening chance of setting the vehicle upright so that Lentz could be removed from it. This is dangerous because a sudden change in pressure to the body can be critical.
Oh.
That's when Lentz asked, apparently the person trapped in the car, asked if someone would pray with her, and a voice said, "I will." And the silver-haired priest in his 50s and 60s in black pants, black shirt, black collar with the visible white insert stepped forward from nowhere. It struck Reed as odd because the street had blocked off 2 miles from the scene and no one from the nearby communities recognized him. "We're all local people from 4 different towns, Reed said. We've only got 1 Catholic church out of 3 towns, and it wasn't their priest.
So if you're a Catholic church missing a priest, contact the authorities in this Missouri town.
That's right.
They have information.
Now, here's what I'm not quite sure I understand perfectly here. Reed and the other emergency workers were on their knees. The priest of about medium build, maybe 6 feet tall, stood above them. This priest approached Katie and began to pray openly with her, Reed said. He had a bottle of anointing oil with him, and he used that. Now, what I'm wondering is, what the hell were the emergency workers doing on their knees? Unless their knees to do whatever it was they were doing to aid
Hey, this story, where is
oh,
this
Oh, I know, it reads
where's
like
Missouri?
A, it reads like a
no,
freaking
but I mean,
story.
But I mean, who,
what news source?
Outlet carried this?
I'll have to look. USA Today, it says.
Oh, good grief. and the punchline is he didn't show up in any of the video of the accident?
No.
So,
photos. He's not in any of the photos.
Yeah,
photos.
when they went, they then.
Well, that, yeah, I didn't watch that, so I don't know what that is, but.
Everything happened quickly after that. 20 emergency workers pulled together and sat the car upright, Churchill Lentz said, and Katie Lentz's vital signs improved, and her rescue team from a nearby community suddenly appeared with fresh equipment and tools, and they removed her to the hospital. With Lentz gone, the rescue team prepared to clean up, Reed said. We all go back to thank this priest, and he's gone. So, I can only assume he beamed in and beamed out.
Well, there's
some Catholic spaceship
there's
high
above. There's all kinds of possible answers to this, you know.
I know.
And one is, you know, mass hysteria. With no corroborating evidence, a perfectly reasonable answer is these people all caught up in an emotional thing kind of imagined this guy.
Yeah.
Another
perfectly
reasonable answer is this is just bullshit made up by some reporter.
Sure.
Another perfectly reasonable answer is it's bullshit made up by one person that was interviewed at the scene. They made it up. Or imagined it. I mean, there's nothing. How does this kind of crap even make the news?
I don't know.
And this is where these wacky religious stories come from, is just irresponsible reporting of hearsay stuff.
Yep.
Well, darn. Tracy? Comments?
I just thought that it was maybe God's way of telling them that the Catholic Church is the right church.
Because it was a Catholic priest.
It was.
And not some other country.
Yeah, I mean, it's Missouri, yeah. And they even said, we're all local people from different towns. We've only got one Catholic church out of three towns, and it wasn't their priest.
Does it say whether the person who made that comment was one of the Catholics?
Reed, I don't know, but what I'm thinking is that was God's way of letting them go and look to see how many Catholic churches they had. And when they realize they only have the one out of all those towns, clearly they need more.
You're not thinking
right.
You're not actually thinking that.
Well, I mean, it's Missouri, so there's probably a lot of fundamentalist Protestant churches.
Oh, good grief.
And he either wants to spread it around or he's telling them they need to just ditch that whole Protestant tradition and go Catholic.
When you get these religion-charged stories, then the people that want to believe that get just so out of control with excitement that they just go ahead and spread this stuff
without
stopping to make sure that it's true.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's what they want to hear, yeah.
Grr. Well, that's
But I thought, too, I mean, just because a road is blocked off doesn't mean that you're barring all traffic. I mean, there's people that go through barriers all the time
and of course,
go around something.
Then again, you know, this could have been, you know, the devil appearing to save the Antichrist.
Who
knows?
I did notice that he was dressed all in black.
Yeah.
And for some reason, in the story, the headline of the story is Angel. Well, at least it's in scare quotes.
Yeah, yeah.
So good for them, at least on that point. Angel priest visits Missouri accident scene.
Yeah,
dressed all in black.
I think it would have been cooler. It would have been cooler if it was a real angel with wings and stuff that like really came down in robes.
If they're going to have it, why not have it all?
That would have been cool.
Why not go ahead and report that?
Yeah, and get that on some photos too, because that would be awesome. That on YouTube would rock. I'd post that. I mean, I'd share it.
And as silly as it is, apparently, the person survived. Yay.
And here we are left talking about this thing.
Right.
We've got, like, nothing to go on.
Yeah.
Right?
He said, she said.
Except frustration, because it's just so completely out of left field. And nothing. We're not left with any hooks. I mean, we're not left with any hooks to even, you know, tease it apart.
Right.
It's just some bullshit from the road. Shall we move on?
Yes.
Sure.
To the next.
Please. Okay, what have I got here? Oh, this is the crazy people that, let's see, an Arizona family that decided they were sick of living in the U.S., packs up their family, and goes into the ocean in a boat.
All right.
And almost kills everybody.
Yeah.
So the quotes that I highlighted that made me laugh the most, let's see, they said they were attempting to leave the U.S. over what they consider government interference in religion, and they're going to fly back home on Sunday when the article was posted. And I put a little note there that said, unwittingly, they're an example of when the government should intervene, because they had children. And, you know, it's one thing if you want to, you know, risk your own butt in a stupid plan of crazy, you know, wily coyote nuttiness, but when you take your little, you know, baby and your toddler with you on that mess, somebody's got to look after them, and you're clearly not capable.
Does it say what specific government interference in religion?
Yeah. Oh, she had a lot to say. She was like,
just
she was a quote fountain. And, okay, so then I put...
Okay, you got to do a voice.
They said
this is the nonprofits. You're going to have to do a voice.
I don't know if I can do a voice. How do you do... What does a theist crazy sound like? decided to take a leap of faith, which I said that I added a little note underneath where I said they became an example of why, when the government should appear, and I said they also became an example of why faith is a bad idea.
Yeah.
And so then they said they ended up adrift for weeks after a bunch of storms just left them, you know, high and dry.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, here's why it's government business. Their flights home were arranged by the U.S. Embassy. Because they had to get, they just had to get fished out.
What foreign country did they wind up in the water?
Well, they understood the island to be one of the least developed countries in the world. They were going to some place called Kiribati, and they didn't want to go anywhere quote big. And so they went to this island where there's supposed to be about 100,000 people. And she said that her family was fed up with government control in the U.S. As Christians, they don't believe in quote abortion, homosexuality in this and the. Homosexuality or in the state-controlled church. What made me laugh is none of those things represent government control. Abortion is about not controlling it and allowing choice. Yeah. Homosexuality and allowing gay marriage and stuff is about not controlling it, not restricting it. You just let them have the same rights.
Right.
And then with the church, it's like, what in the world is state-controlled? If anything, the church has got its, you know, hands in the cookie jar. As far as, you know, right. We're trying to keep them away.
State,
yeah, you know? And so I'm looking at that, and I'm like, they're not telling you what to do religiously. Now, they would if they got in there and took hold of the state like they'd like to.
Yeah, well, they're obviously, you know, users of persecution porn. I mean, you know, we got to be persecuted so
now,
that we can justify
so
everything.
They said they didn't like that they were forced to pay these taxes that pay for abortions we don't agree with.
Right.
It's like, well, I don't like paying for faith-based initiatives, but there goes my tax dollars.
Suck it up.
So when they were found and rescued, right? They were found and rescued from the middle of the ocean?
Yeah. In fact, a couple boats ignored them.
So there was a guy all dressed in black with a Catholic priestly collar
now
on.
Now, that
right?
I don't know. Let me see. It says here that...
Because that's a whole family of Christians, and
here's,
you know,
the thing,
obviously,
they weren't members.
If God's going to send an angel down dressed as a Catholic priest, he's going to do it for those people as well, right?
Well, they weren't members of any church, though, but they said the Bible is pretty clear, which I highlighted because I thought that was a riot.
That's great.
I'm like, yeah, the Bible's really clear.
I'm glad they have it right out of everyone else.
Well, apparently God sent them out into the ocean. Well, what was... She took the kids with her, and they all went out into this boat. They were out for 91 days in the water. And they said it was storm, storm, storm.
At least they had a destination.
They were out of food and down to some juice and honey. They were able to catch some fish, but they didn't see many boats.
They should have had.
But then this is
what they needed to have is they needed to have a loaf of bread and a fish
and some raisins.
And some raisins.
They were out of food and were, let's see, it says, still, we didn't feel like we were going to die or anything. We believed God would see us through.
Oh.
Well, now here's the sad part.
The sad part is still coming?
They were rescued, which means that this is all reinforced in her head now. So it says, we were in the thick of it, but we prayed, she said. Being out on the boat,
grief.
I just knew I was going to see some miracles. And I just wrote in here, sad. They probably see this as affirmation,
so,
not a lesson.
So, the government picked them up and rescued them. So, the government is a miracle.
Actually, it was like some fishing boat got them and then transferred them to some other boat. But
I don't think we can quite catch them on that little piece of irony.
She said, they watched the surrounding storms disperse and, quote, next thing you know, the sun is out. It's amazing. And I wrote, yeah, weather, go figure.
Yeah, because that's... you wouldn't expect the sun to come out when a storm was over.
Right.
Eventually, the boat was spotted by a helicopter. They were taken from a nearby Venezuelan fishing vessel. The captain asked them if they knew where they were. Anyway, it said that they're back. They've gone back to Arizona to come up with a new plan.
Did the captain ask them if they knew the difference between fantasy and reality?
I don't know. But they've gone back to Arizona to come up with a new plan, and I put, hopefully, a plan that includes some CPS oversight. And, you know, I guess the first plan God had for him didn't work out so well.
People wealthy enough to own a private boat of their own.
Well, a little kind of dinghy thing, and they brought their mother-in-law, and yeah, it didn't. It's not, really? They had a mast and stuff. I don't think this was like a big boat,
okay.
But
all right.
There was a lot of comments about social services, and I hope the kids get removed. And,
yes.
I don't know that, you know, but definitely they need to. Somebody needs to look out for these children because these children have no choice. They're being dragged around by crazies.
Yep.
Has there been any follow-up to that story that anybody has seen? I mean, presumably they're back in the U.S. now, right?
Yeah,
what did they do? Did they sell all their worldly possessions before they went?
I don't have a clue.
You would want to
I mean, they're
have,
not members
right?
of a church. They brought their mother-in-law. I mean, do they have any extended family? Do they have a social support group?
End.
I have no idea.
I know, but if you're leaving the country, right, and you're going to some other place, you'd want to have your pocket cash, right? Especially if
you think
that the world is going to end, that's when you don't bother selling your house. So, does it say where they were from? So we can warn the people in that area?
Well, it said that a northern Arizona family was lost, and then they went
northern
back to Arizona. So I guess they are
they
from
They got
Arizona.
From northern Arizona to the ocean somehow.
Yeah, with their boat.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. That's one word for it.
Oh, good grief. Well, I'm told by the control room that we have 30 listeners on the live stream right now.
Wow.
I don't know what the limit is on Ustream, but...
I don't know.
We had a last-minute technical obstacle, and we went out on a different Ustream channel than we normally use, but just by posting it, like, 2 minutes before going live on the Facebook page, the nonprofit's Facebook page...
Yeah.
We got 30 people listening, at least we did as of about 5 minutes ago. Who knows what it's up to now. Hi, everybody listening to the show. We're here. We're back. We're trying to hold it together. There was some last-minute arrivals, me and Dennis among them, and Tracy sitting in here for Russell. And and yet, we have a show happening. So that's awesome.
It is.
Yeah.
My nose is itching. I gotta poke it.
Dude,
did you just poke your nose?
Everybody pokes their nose.
Oh my goodness.
Hot Jupiter.
Yeah. I don't know.
Jumping Jehoshaphat, I think.
Tracy, I think you're the only one now who has still got some news.
I do. What do I got?
What about in? I can tell about talk about this. I had some Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door.
You did.
Do tell.
Yeah, it was like Christmas morning in more ways than one. First, actually, they came three times.
Oh, well. Before you do, I got to say one thing.
Yeah.
I read a story. I don't have it with me. Maybe I can find it. Where criminals dressed as Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on a door and then robbed the person.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you dress as a Jehovah's Witness?
White shirt, black tie, bicycle, the whole thing.
I thought these were
folks,
Mormons.
That's Mormons.
Oh, that's Mormons?
Yeah,
okay,
they
were dressed as Mormons. I don't know. How do you dress as a...
You wave the literature around,
oh, okay.
Right? You could do that.
Yeah.
But it's like Wednesday Addams talking to, you know, when her serial killer... outfit from the Addams Family. They look just like everyone else.
They look just like everyone else.
A couple knocked on my door. It was an Hispanic couple. The guy had trouble making himself understood in English, but the woman was like, here's our literature, and blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, we're atheists here. And she asked permission. Well, we had a short discussion. Which ranged over all the obvious things, and surprisingly, to my mind, surprisingly, the whole evolution thing came up. I didn't know that Jehovah's Witnesses were of the creationist ilk, but apparently, at least these ones were. And she asked permission to come back with and drop off some literature.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, okay, fine." And It's not a lot to report about the meat of these discussions. It was all the obvious stuff that you'd expect. But it was just the guy who came back, who said some things in heavily accented English, which I had trouble understanding. He handed me the literature, at least I knew why he was back. Took it, off they went, and asked permission to return a third time with a guy who was knowledgeable about religious matters. So I said, okay, fine, sounds great. And the third time they came back, it was the woman and this white-haired older gentleman. Invited him in, sat him down on the sofa, and boy, within like 30 seconds, we were button heads on evolution. And I was like, I don't know if there's any kind of discussion we can have if you're just going to start by dispensing with everything that right. science knows about the universe. But we managed to go off of that and spent about, I don't know, 45 minutes maybe, covering wow. pretty much everything. I mean, they brought up prophecy, and I countered with all the times that people thought that was the end times throughout history. And I didn't I hadn't looked at their literature. I threw it in the corner because we went away for the weekend to a convention. But difficult for Jehovah's Witnesses because sure. they're a cult left over from one of these big failed end of the world predictions.
Yeah.
Just hammered them on that one. And prophecies about things that other than end of the world that they claim came about. And no, I brought up that this is all written in a book in the past, right? It's thing people in the past talking about things that were going to happen in the past, that did happen in the past.
Right.
And, you know, you got to look a lot harder at those before you... And then we got into not free will, but predestination in the sense of who gets to go to heaven and stuff.
Sure.
And just caught him in a direct contradiction that so you believe in the literal story of Adam and Eve? Oh, yes. And, okay, so God knew that Adam and Eve were going to fall for the serpent's plot, and he went ahead and did it anyway. What's the point of that? So he said, oh, well, God, no. See, God only knows the future when he chooses to.
Oh,
so he didn't choose to know the future that time.
Oh,
see.
Right.
Still, in some cases it was, oh, it's great that God can know the future and that's how he predicts this stuff in the Bible. But on the other hand, it's inconvenient for God, and I call them on it, right? So when it's convenient for your God to know the future, you say that he does. When it's inconvenient for your God to know the future, it makes him look like a dick.
But how do you
know?
Like, how do you not know stuff?
Right, because
you would have
known before you even got the idea of putting the tree down in the Garden of Eden. You'd have known what was going to happen when you put the tree down in the Garden of Eden.
It isn't like there's this information that God has to go discover.
Right.
Right?
I know.
I'm sorry, the word omniscient.
I'm not even
going to
open that drawer. It's like, so there's drawers you haven't opened that you have no idea what's in them? That's your God?
To their credit, they turned out not to be for prayer in school.
Oh, yeah, right? They're very separation.
So that was nice.
Well, they're like that because they're a minority religion.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
And they have a history of persecution against them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're very big on separation. They understand that.
But,
plus they're apolitical.
Yeah, the crap that this... Yeah, yes, that came up too. And that thing, I told him I appreciated that. The crap that was coming out of this guy's mouth about evolution. It's all the standard extreme right-wing anti-science anti-evolution stuff, right? They're just they're just guessing. that's all I have to say about that. It was an encounter, and all the obvious things happened. But I do encourage people, you know, if you get these people at your door, don't just sit there and insult them. You know, engage with them, because they were clearly, frankly, astonished to encounter an atheist who actually, you know, knew what he thought, all right, and wasn't just, no, I don't want any of that, go away. I didn't want any of that, but it was interesting intellectual exercise to just play the whack-a-mole game of, oh, that obvious crazy thing. Here's right. the response to that. That
the
obvious
reason,
crazy thing. Here's
the
response
reason
to
these
that.
Arguments go all over the place is because once you start to attack one, they go, oh, I better go to a different thing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure.
Can't nail them down on anything.
But you're right. Like what they would be used to would be, I think, the norm that most people who are would consider themselves non-religious or non-believers are not skeptics. They don't think about it. It's just that it hasn't really come across their brain that much.
Or they close the door, right, in disgust
But I'm thinking in terms of all the people that say, well, I was an atheist before I believed. It's like, well, we all were, but it doesn't mean we thought about it. It doesn't mean we understood
right.
why. I mean, I was an atheist before I believed, too, and I was praying and scared of hell and, like, just wanted some reason to believe in God because they had instilled all this wacky stuff into me. I didn't believe.
I don't encourage people to engage with them in detail if you're not prepared. You know, and for a lot of people, atheism seems to have become this like fad of arguing about religion, and a lot of people jump in when they don't really have any idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And you know, this discussion ended with these people going away thinking, you know, wow, we did not make a dent in that guy, right? Or and he had an answer to everything that we said. If I had not been prepared and engage with them, it would have been, you know, 8 or 12 different things that they brought up where my only response would have been, well, I'll have to look into that, which is just leaves
right.
their little fevered imaginations totally open to the possibility that at some point I'm going to switch over to their
side. We defeated him. Yes.
And they volunteered to come back with yet more literature. And I said, look, folks, I hate to see you waste your money. You know, you print up this stuff, and you know, I'm sure you know you get donations or whatever. And the guy jumped in and was like denying that for some reason. And I said, look, it doesn't matter. The money to pay for the printing of these things comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And unless you left here under the impression that I'm about to cave, don't waste your literature on me. And they did not come back.
Yeah.
So, and having come back twice before, after the first time, pretty convinced they went away had an encounter with someone that left them with some serious things to think about. But at least they also left with the impression that, you know, atheists are not just scowly, angry people that slam the doors in their faces. Right.
Right.
At least send them away troubled by the fact that we're not the stereotype that they like to say about us. That's what I'd like to encourage people to do. And if you know your stuff, by all means, you know, go play the whack-a-mole game.
Right. But it's not like their arguments are automatically easy to counter, and they'll just
There was nothing that they said that I hadn't heard before.
Sure.
Right.
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 There was no, so that
good.
I'll encourage people to that extent. Right. It is possible for if you're just paying attention and think about this stuff and read some of the things available online and watch some of the debates available online, you can learn the obvious responses to all this stuff. And to me, though, the fun thing about debating with Christians is realizing new arguments, right, new things that come up that you hadn't encountered, right, that are also good. That's a lot of fun.
They will sometimes say things that just leave you with your mouth hanging open going, it's so stupid, how can I even begin to address it? I mean, it's fractally wrong on all levels.
Right.
You know, where do I start? There's no way.
That's exactly the impression that I had in the first 30 seconds when this guy starts going off about science.
Right.
And it's like, wait, hold on now. Okay. So I started laying out for him the all the obvious benefits of science, all the obvious things that have been learned, right? This is not the result of guesswork. This is about a result of careful, systematic analysis of the actual evidence. That's why we're driving around in cars right now and not still dragging donkeys.
Yeah, I think they're actually not. I'm not talking just about Jehovah's Witnesses, but the religions in general that have to deny science in order to support their doctrines do so much damage to scientific understanding and scientific credibility that I think pervades other things outside their religion. Like they start attacking it just as a doctrinal thing, and then what happens is all of that rhetoric leaches out into the rest of the population, and then you end up with this massive population that's just paranoid and distrustful of medicine and science, and part of it has to do with them spreading all these weird misconceptions about what science is and isn't, what it claims, what it doesn't claim, what it does, what it doesn't do.
And how it's portrayed in media.
It's horrible.
There was a link posted, again, I believe, to the Atheist Experience and Nonprofits fans group on Facebook. Is Kent Hovind the Australian guy?
He was the guy I thought that had the...
Who's the Australian creationist prick?
Not Ray Comfort.
No.
I'm thinking of. Ken Ham?
Ken Ham.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know.
I didn't bring this in because I think it's not out of context. It's in a slightly ambiguous context. But... a reasonable interpretation of this video, a not unreasonable interpretation, is that in this video, the guy admits that reason and logic and science don't support Christianity. That he actually says, he's advising fellow creationists that reason and logic and science are not going to provide the smoking gun that proves that creationism is true, and they should get rid of that idea, but that just keep pointing people back to the Bible, which is hilarious.
Yes.
But a reasonable interpretation of that is he's admitting science and logic and reason support evolution.
Right. Not on his side.
Well, and also that his own, what he's talking about isn't reasonable, isn't logical, doesn't stand up to reasonable criticism or reasonable challenge. I mean, if it could, then it would be reasonable. If you have a reasonable belief and someone applies reasonable criticism to it, you should be able to respond reasonably.
Right. And then it's not particularly unfair to interpret this video as an admission on his part that he can't do that.
Sure, yeah, no, I agree.
But I didn't bring it. So
but they try to undermine it.
That's which guy it was.
That's the thing that kills me, is the way they try to undermine these things then spreads, because if you can get somebody to say, well, we can't trust reason, I mean, I was convinced...
But he didn't... It was crazy, because he didn't attack reason. He didn't attack... It wasn't an attack on science. It was a... let's ignore science and just say, because the Bible says X, that's true, regardless of what science.
Well, that's pretty much how I was raised.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that if it's in the Bible, if the science just hasn't figured it out yet, they'll eventually, if they keep looking, will come around to what the Bible says. It's just they don't have all the picture yet.
Except that's the advice he was giving to his followers was, don't expect the evidence to come in to convince the scientists scientifically of God, that all you can do is keep thumping the Bible, which is a fine admission.
Yeah,
I think he's right.
And
but I don't think they're going to listen to him. They want that stamp of science.
Listen to him internally, but if you try to sell that, it's a hard sell to somebody that's not already bought into it. To try to convince somebody that they should ignore evidence and reason when a person is not ignoring evidence and reason and understands why they're using it, trying to push that outside your faith is a whole different thing than trying to sell it internally.
That message is for any other people that he can find that are more interested in, and I'm holding up the angel story now, right? More interested in touchy-feely, unsupported bullcrap.
Yeah.
than in facts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
People who will read this angel priest at the accident site story and right. think, oh, this right. must there this must be awesome. Something to it because it sounds so exciting. Even though there's no reason at all to think any of this stuff actually happened or has the significance that they're trying to
yeah.
put on it.
And when you have young people that are raised in a tradition where critical thinking isn't taught and isn't and right. the value of it isn't explained, then they hit 13, 14, 15, they read a story like that, and they have all these adults surrounding them promoting things like this. And
it's
so to
too
them...
good to be true, it must be true.
Yeah, they're getting validated with this, and unless they learn later, like I did much later, that, oh, you know, actually there is a more validity to yeah. trying to map the world using reason and using evidence. It's not just a toss-up of everything is sort of equally as good and
right.
the way they try to promote it.
Right. They've always, you know, that fight has always, for the believers, always been about trying to have a level playing field, right?
On the side of a mountain, yeah.
Right. Trying to say... what we have to say is has just as much authority as what science says. And this move by the guy in the video, whose name I'm not entirely sure of, but he's the Australian. But he's not the Banana Man.
Well, if you find it, post it to the page right. later, yeah. the nonprofit page.
Seems to me that is conceding some of that level playing field. That is an admission that there's not a level playing field, there's two different playing fields. And that, I think, is better.
Is it kind of like the non-overlapping magisteria?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think that's where he's going. And I don't agree with that.
Uh-huh. Well, sure.
It's Ken Ham. There he is.
Yes.
Yay!
It's Ken Ham.
I got it right.
Dennis looked it up. And if I was in the mood, I'd do an Australian accent. So that was my Jehovah's Witness encounter.
Interesting.
Cool. Anything exciting, fun happen to you guys lately? I think Tracy's got one more news story.
Like I don't think I did.
No?
No,
you did it.
That was it. I'm like, don't quit pointing at me. I don't know. Have nothing.
We really need a clock in here. We have no idea how much time we have left.
Perhaps
someone from the control room. Yeah, but do you know exactly when we started?
No. I wasn't paying attention.
It was about time. So we're about an hour in.
Yeah. So we got to fill another half hour with whitters and ums and...
You could do more Star Trek.
We don't have to. But we're going to try. By the way, that's tinyurl.com/popenose. You can all just go and feast your eyes
on the popiness of it. Yeah.
I said the word feast in connection with a video of a man picking and eating his boogers. Perhaps somebody from the control room can hold up a piece of paper in front of the window and let us know how much time we got left. And
he's doing it.
And
right
we have.
Now.
That looks like 30 minutes left.
Yeah.
You know what I think we should do?
What should we do?
Since we are out of news,
we are.
Unless somebody's got something they want
talk
to
talk about, some subject maybe.
Well, you got a subject?
I would like to just say, I would like to announce publicly that I have come to see the beauty of your compatibilist argument for free will that I disagreed with you on earlier. So
should we do a half hour on compatibilism? That would be awesome.
Well, I don't know if there's any.
And the fans
would
love it because they really want to hear me and Dennis tussle.
There's a real beauty part to it, and there's an especially beauty part to it when you're dealing with theistic claims of free will. I think it works very well.
Because one of the big theistic arguments is that is a attack on meaning and significance, because if you don't believe that we have this magic free will that God gave us, then we're all just piles of atoms and molecules doing stuff mechanistically, right?
Well, the beauty that I found in it was in a exchange
maybe
that
we
I
should
had.
Go back, in case there's any of our listeners who don't know what's going on. Compatibilism is a view on free will championed by a number of philosophers, to most atheists. Probably the most familiar one is Daniel Dennett, which says that free will, everything you need, everything that is important in the concept of free will, is provided within the bounds of physics, right? Now, the religious version of free will is that we have magical souls that are immune to being influenced by physical matter, and that therefore we don't have to worry about the physical law, meaning that
forcing our actions.
Yeah, forcing our actions, but the compatibilist definition of free will addresses that and says yes, in all important meaningful ways, we can behave and we can consider ourselves free-willed entities. Okay. Now, Dennis and I have argued about this in the past.
Yes.
And I think we keep butting heads because Dennis continues to argue against the religion-based definition of free will.
Right. That's what I'm interested in squashing.
Which is, you're interested in squashing that definition of free will?
Yeah.
Well, then why don't you just...
Not squashing the definition, but refuting the argument.
But right. I think the compatibilist
and the reason why we have a problem is because when you're a compatibilist, you accept that the term free will can apply to what compatibilists are talking about, and that then you don't have to say there's no free will because you're talking about what compatibilists are talking about instead of what theists are talking about.
But, of course, theists will think, they agree, we have free will.
Right, but
there's two possible problems.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, now we're getting back into it. And Tracy's about to tell us why she thinks she likes...
I had a really good experience
go
with it. I had a thing going on about free will, and I was explaining to... the person was saying that God created everything, God knew everything before it was going to happen, but we all have free will. And I said...
How the hell does that work?
he was saying, like, well, he wrote back and he said something like, well, you... I know it looks like there's a conflict there, and my brother-in-law has the same problem with it, but he's got what's going on. And so then when I wrote back to him, I said, I don't believe I said that there was a conflict. If you go back and read what I wrote, I never said that I didn't believe that negated free will. What I said was God is responsible for what happens. That's different. I said if God creates the universe with foreknowledge of how it's going to turn out, when he hits that go button, he has now predetermined everything that's going to happen.
Right.
He chose it, and that's what will happen.
And the first time I heard that insight spelled out in great detail was from my friend Dennis here.
Yeah.
Right. So everything that occurs, God has chosen. It is all by God's choice. He has picked
that
universe.
It would have to be. It's,
right.
It's not. And the way they try to get out of responsibility for that is by jumping back and forth between two different things and not allowing them to be addressed at the same time. Because you need not just the fact that the God created the universe, but that he did it with absolute foreknowledge of the exact consequences of absolutely everything that's going to happen when he throws the switch.
So you need the omniscience of the future, and you need the created everything. And if you've got those two things, then everything that happens is the responsibility of God.
Uh-huh.
And he was just like, well, I know it sounds like they don't have free will. And I said, well, I didn't say you don't have free will. I said everything that happens is God's responsibility. That's a different statement. I never said people don't have free will. Because from my discussions with you, what I understood you to be describing was the person who is there, regardless of what instilled that will, the person has the will, and nobody is barring them from following
it. And that's their
free will. So
no,
it doesn't matter.
I still actually
they say they're not coerced.
Right.
They're not coerced. Except
correct.
I put forth that the act of creation is the coercion.
But what I'm saying, though, is it may be the thing that shaped the will, but then as long as the person is in, I guess, alignment with that will, if I'm saying this is my
you
will...
You can't not be in alignment with the will that you've got.
Right, right.
But now, I think Dennis
right.
says, Dennis's point is completely valid when confronting Christians about the implications of creation. I don't see the reason why I'm okay with compatibilism is I don't think there was a God who knew absolutely everything that was going to happen.
Well, sure.
And with complete foreknowledge, such that he could program it so that then you do have an illusion of free will and not actual free will, because you think you're making your decisions from moment to moment, but what decisions you were going to make from moment to moment were crystallized at the dawn of time when God threw the switch.
Right.
Right. So I think you and I are actually still in a little bit of disagreement.
Okay.
The reason why compatibilism works for me is because there isn't a guy. There is no guy who programmed us. And I don't have a problem. I don't see that my will is impeded by natural events in the physical world. I am an entity that reacts to events happening around me. That's what it is to be a person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no guy that natural the history that led up to me coming into existence wasn't an intelligent process that programmed me to be the way I am. At no point did some other will determine what I was going to choose.
But
and to me, that as a compatibilist, that is the issue, that wills can be opposed by other wills, not by
right.
natural processes.
But that will is not opposing you. God's not stopping you.
No, he programmed me.
Right.
Which is
he's responsible.
It's an opposition in
he
the sense that if I wish I had not eaten that candy bar yesterday, the fact that I did eat that candy bar yesterday was because God programmed me at the dawn of time.
To want to.
To actually do it.
Yeah, and
no,
to
actually
do it.
No, it's not wants anymore. When
right,
you're talking about a God who has foreknowledge of exactly everything that
sure.
is going to happen.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's using my wants as a tool to get those specific outcomes still does undermine free will.
What I'm saying, though, is if you want to do it, it doesn't matter why you want to do it. If it's what you want, that's your will. That is a definition of will, what you want.
Let me give you, here's an analogy. You could write two different chess programs. One chess program has a specific list of moves to make in response to specific situations. The other one has a system that analyzes the board and comes up with, through its programming, comes
mm-hmm.
up with a response.
Right.
It's not canned. In both cases, you could say the program wants to take the action that it took. But in one of those cases, it's programmed in advance to take precisely that action. I would say, as an analogy for free will, that one fails, right? Where the responses are canned. In the analogy where it's a computer program that is a system that analyzes the board and weighs options and comes up with a choice, that, I think, does not fail the compatibilist view of free will. Because at no point did a programmer say, when the board is in this position, the program will do this move. Okay, and that's what you get from God controlling everything, having omnipotence and omniscience and creating the universe, is analogy one.
I guess what I'm saying is that if I have these options in front of me,
mm-hmm.
and I say, I can get all these different options. It depends on, I hit this button and I get this one. I hit this one over here, I get this other one. I prefer this one. And I hit it.
Yeah.
The whole thing rolls out.
Yeah.
These things are doing what they want to do. I just know what they're going to do before I hit the button.
Yeah.
So I generated this whole thing, but I generated it including that some of these things have what would be defined as desires of their own, but they are generated from the start.
Yeah, but again, with the God analogy, it's like there's a guy behind the curtain
sure.
with wires going into your head who's flipped the switch and
he
decided
doesn't have
what
to be involved once he hits go. He already knows what will happen.
I'm saying there's no difference between an omniscient guy doing it at the dawn of time and a guy right then flipping a switch, affecting your brain and causing your wants to conform with his goals. That raises a fair question about whether your choice is a representation of your will or his will.
And I guess what I'm saying is that there's all these different things that, as long as it's what I want and I don't want something different, then it is my will. It might be my will because somebody instilled it, or it might be my will because...
The case you are making is not how I see it.
That's fair. I mean, it's fair to clarify that.
And by the way, I want to say it's awesome. We have a third person at the table who can talk about free will. And you have yet a third take on it, which is fascinating.
Well, what I explained to the person, though, is that I was not saying that the people didn't want to do what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
I felt like they did. Uh-huh. And I was just like, I understand they want to do this. That somebody rapes a child, they want to do it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that they don't. And I'm not saying that they're forced. I'm saying they're doing what they want to do.
Uh-huh.
I'm simply saying that because God hit the go button and knew beforehand what was going to happen, it's his responsibility what occurs.
I agree with that. But when we get into specifically talking about free will, the the compatibilist take on free will would say, no, if you're responsible to the point where you had other options and made it so that it would come out that way, that made it so that the person was going to want that thing at that time,
mm-hmm.
then that does undermine free will. That is a reasonable...
And yet I would think that unless you put a gun to the person's head and said, rape the child, then they're doing what they want to do.
But wanting to doing what you want to do is not enough. That want has to be your own want and not somebody else's doing. If it's somebody else's doing, if somebody else programmed you by knowing in advance, that's a want you might have. Oh, in the universe I'm about to create, there's a moment where Tracy might want to do that thing.
Right.
All right. I have the choice for you to have that want or not, and it's my decision. That undermines free will, as I understand the compatibilist.
And it might. I might be misunderstanding
because,
that.
And the reason it can undermine it is because that compatibilism is talking about what you do, how we look at ourselves in a universe where there isn't a frickin' God.
Okay, no, I mean,
right?
That's a fair
where
clarification.
None of that stuff exists. Now, Dennett, there's a fabulous little silver book called Varieties of Free Will Worth Wanting is the subtitle. The title was Elbow Room.
Ah,
Elbow
yes.
Room by Daniel Dennett, where he lays this out. And he goes after a number of arguments against free will, which are bullshit and don't actually undermine free will. But they all have to do with the real world and things that can really happen.
Okay.
So anyway, Dennis,
you've
been quietly sitting there letting...
Well, you've been discussing your compatibilism.
Well,
apparently I'm discussing something I just made up.
I think that... I did say a thing that you could have taken the way that you took it, but I'm talking about in a universe where there isn't a conscious programmer deciding how you're going to be. In a world where there's a conscious programmer deciding how you're going to be, I don't think you do have free will.
In a world without a grasp.
And I look at it like, when I guess maybe when I'm thinking of will, I'm thinking of the things that I want.
That is definitely the will part. I will agree that in a universe where a God programmed everything in advance,
and when I think,
people have a will.
And when I think of not having free will, what I think of is coercion, where I want to do it, but I'm having to do something else because somebody's forcing me, where I actually desire something and they're making me do another thing.
What if somebody tricks you? Not force, but trickery. Is that an exercise of free will? I would say no, because that's the freedom part taken away, right?
Well, you're defrauded. But did they impinge your free will, or did they simply defraud you?
It depends on what we mean by freedom, right? If what we mean by freedom is just your the process of having a will and it coming up with impulses that you act on, right?
Yeah.
That's going on, then that's freedom. Okay, I would think that... I think we would probably... Let's come up with an analogy in the real world.
Well, like my
husband... Somebody lies... You're going to buy a car, and somebody lies to you about
sure.
what the car can do, right? Mm-hmm. And you make a cost-benefit analysis based on their lies, and you choose a car,
right.
and then afterward you find out it was bullshit.
Right.
Right? Now, you exercised your will,
sure.
but I would argue didn't freely do it because you were consciously interfered with. Your decision-making process was consciously interfered with by somebody else.
And I think I made a free will decision, but I did it on bad information that was deceitfully provided that I then could get out of because I was defrauded, but I still didn't.
Yeah.
I
hear your point, and my analogy is it's difficult to come up with an analogy in the real world about magic performed by a cosmic space entity at the dawn of time.
I agree. But that's why I'm saying when I was talking to the theist, that was one of the things I was describing.
Would you want to discover... let's just go here anyway. It's awkward, right? But if you discovered everything you're doing at every moment, right,
mm-hmm.
including everything you want to do once you found out this discovery, right, you still couldn't escape that your entire life was prescripted.
Right.
Right. Now, it's scripted not by force in the sense of that computer program where all your moves are canned,
mm-hmm.
right? But foreknowledge of the entire universe around you and everything you're going to encounter and all the information that you receive,
right
from moment to moment,
right.
knowing precisely what course you're going to take, right?
Yeah.
Would you still feel free?
Yeah, it would make no difference to me. Now, wait a minute. Before I go on, let me just say, and the transporter argument,
yeah,
I would step in because I think whatever is left represents me sufficiently that I don't care that the original dies.
I do, too.
So
I can't.
I look at it like there's still a Tracy in the universe. And with... even though I know that I don't believe that I would continue, that I know the original would discontinue, but what
yeah.
is left, I am sufficiently comfortable with that would go on and represent all the things I would be representing.
Hang on. I would step into a Star Trek transporter. No problem.
But Star Trek is pseudoscience, and
well,
there's
no,
bullshit
no,
about
it. No, it's not, yeah. that. It's because it's a dissolve.
Oh.
It's a dissolve from where I am to where I'm beamed to where I'm teleported to.
Yeah.
That gives me a continuity.
Yeah, but that dissolve is an illusion.
Well, anyway.
How is it an illusion?
To me, the experience of the will thing would be the same. It wouldn't matter.
The destination, Dennis, didn't actually experience all of those things. Right? Destination, Dennis,
what?
Is just having... Well, I mean that.
No. I have a continuity of consciousness. I don't care if I have a continuity of material.
And Star Trek
in
actually
that case.
The thing is,
I demand a continuity of one or of either consciousness or material.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to have both, but I have to have one or the other.
Yeah. I don't actually need to have either, but I think that a Star Trek.
Did you just say that you would take continuity, like physical continuity, without the consciousness?
Well, I mean, if I am, say, I need to, I have a disease, right? That can't be cured, so they freeze me.
Okay.
I'm dead. I have no continuity of consciousness.
Correct.
But my original brain is still there, and that's the thing that gets revived in the future world with the nanotechnology.
But it would still be you.
Yeah,
would still be me.
He's not saying he's all right with one or the other dying.
No.
He's all right as long as one or the other is
maintains
continuous.
A continuity.
Right.
Yeah.
And obviously, he wants his mind to be the one that wakes up in the other body.
Yeah, that would be
me. You would not be
okay
if your body was preserved, and 50 years from now, they figure out how to thaw you out and repair you, but your memories are all gone, so they just copy some other prick's consciousness into your body. You wouldn't be happy with
yeah,
that.
No.
But everybody here is cool going into the transporter. Is that what I
understand? As long as those dissolve, yes.
I would prefer that the original me not be destroyed, but not for the same reason as many other people might. I prefer that the same reason I prefer cats not to be euthanized, right? I prefer cats to be allowed to continue living. I prefer human beings to be allowed to continue living. If it's the only way to get my interests represented in France in the next 5 seconds, right? And I am convinced that what appears in France is going to be an exact copy of me.
Sure.
And the only way to make that happen is for my original body to be disintegrated in order to get the information to make the other one. I'd sign up, right? But what I would not do is I wouldn't want my original destroyed just to make life easier for the copy. When he flies home,
there would be ethical problems.
And all
this
crap about cloning and Star Trek transporter accidents and stuff is all made up bullshit about you know all the hideous stupid problems. People, I mean, what if the automobile had been invented and the only way to make it work was to chop the driver's head off when they got in, right? Or you chop your foot off, so you had to stick your foot down into this little guillotine thing to press on the gas. That was the only way to make it go. Well, we just wouldn't use them. So a lot of this crap about why transporters would be bad is just made up nonsense.
I think it's just hypotheticals that are intended to examine different questions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't think that it's like I think that the mechanism itself is not really the discussion. It's about what's valuable to you.
Yeah, it's
like,
philosophic.
Yeah.
What do you consider you?
Right.
In a Star Trek transporter story where you don't send the other one to France, you know, don't destroy the original, we just wind up with two on slabs next to each other, right? Which one would be you and which one would get your wife? And so the correct answer is, before you lie down on the table, be prepared to accept that it's not going to be you. Right. Otherwise, you're intentionally putting some other poor bastard in the position where you know they're not going to be happy about it, and you're having them create it anyway.
That reminds
me. You are an ass.
But that sounds like the question where they're like, if you're divorced or if you're widowed and then you remarry and then you die and go to heaven, who's your wife? Like, have you ever heard questions like that? It's kind of like that.
Mormons don't have a problem with that.
So which of the teleported clones is the evil one? That's the
one with the goatee. Star Trek did answer that.
Yes,
for us.
That's true.
That's pretty good.
I'm glad. This is great. The show has come full circle back to Star Trek.
Yes,
it did. It was a nice segue. I agree.
As long as it takes 10 seconds to get somewhere, I'm all for it.
Tracy. My personal view is that a magical guy that could program me by taking advantage of my natural desires and drives and choices to make it seem to me like I am freely choosing, but actually he set it all up at the dawn of time and I am merely going through my paces. To me, that denies free will and leaves you with nothing but an illusion. In the real world, where there is no guy, I have no problem at all with the idea that, though I think it's arguable that this is even true, I have no problem with the idea that I am the product of all of the mechanistic processes of physics that led to my existence, right? Because I don't think that denies free will, because I don't think stuff like that denies freedom. Because then, if that's the case, everything denies freedom, and nobody has any freedom at all, ever, and the word becomes useless.
Yep.
So, but But so, I want to hear the end of your story, though. So you were talking to this guy. Yeah. You said a thing to him that...
Yeah, what I said was pretty much the argument I just laid out. I said your God created it. Uh-huh. Your God knew what was going to happen. He selected that. And so that makes him responsible for that outcome. Just like if you were going to have a child and you had to pick which one you wanted before you, you know, created it based on all these embryos, and you knew this one would not have an arm.
Right.
And you choose that, you're responsible then for producing that embryo that ends up in a child that has no arm. You caused it. But it doesn't mean that the child doesn't have an arm. I mean, the child still doesn't have an arm, and she's still living with that, and that's still her existence. And so what I was saying to him was, I don't have any problem with the idea that your God foresaw it all, chose what he desired with the child rape and everything in it. That's the universe he wanted. And I agree with you.
Yep.
I agree with you that the rapist that rapes wants to rape. He's not being coerced. God didn't put a gun to his head. Uh-huh. God just created something that would want to do it. And so that thing that wants to do it, and what he's expressing in that want, and what he's expressing in those actions, is what it wants.
Right.
Even if it was produced as a, you know.
And we have to assume it's what God wants.
5 minutes on your watch and let us know when it's up. Or Dennis on your phone. 5 minutes we have left in the show, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't ever hear that.
That leads us, that view is the universe as Dennis sees it, except with physics instead of God, right? That people have a will and they actually choose what they want, but it's not, we can't hold them responsible ultimately for it because it's just the consequence of all the...
Right. You're born with a nature...
Of all the dominoes that fell before then.
You're born with a nature that you do not choose. And so it seems silly to be held accountable for that nature.
So how would it... describe a universe where you are born with a nature that you choose.
I can't imagine one. This is how it is.
So you're saying, by definition, nobody is responsible for anything that they do?
Not in the sense that they're viewed currently, I would agree.
Right, right.
Yeah, I think that the idea, that's why I think that the penal system should not be about punitive. Like,
no, I totally agree with that.
Because
I've gone off about this in the past, too.
If you look at us all as robots, right? Oh, look, there's a robot behaving in a manner that is detrimental to the robots around it.
Doesn't mean you can't protect yourself.
Those robots are programmed to grab that one and correct its actions.
Right, right.
You know, and unfortunately, you know, they want to reprogram it to be a fully functional member of society, right? But unfortunately, the only means we've got to reprogram ourselves are things like imprisonment,
punishment. What's interesting to me, though, is that everybody gets it with, if you had a dog, for example, that bit somebody that was vicious because it had been abused, everybody would understand the poor dog is not responsible for what it does.
Dog's not responsible.
But suddenly when people do it, it wouldn't keep you from protecting yourself or protecting others from the dog.
I think this is just a gigantic red herring, because the compatibilist view of free will is not about wanting to continue justifying vengeance.
Oh, I'm not saying it is. I'm just talking about with responsibility.
That's what the theists want.
There are people out there whose reaction to any slight of or problem of any kind is emotional and vengeful. Those people are not sitting here having discussions. Well, Let me finish. Those people are not sitting here having discussions about free will, right?
But I have those feelings too. I just know that I can't act on them.
But saying that someone is responsible for their actions, to me, from the compatibilist view, and I've tried to explain this to Dennis, and again, we keep button heads on this one. When a dog bites someone, you do take steps to react to that. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Because you recognize that it's that dog that did the biting.
Sure, sure.
That is the dog that has the tendencies.
Yes. Right, correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. So to say that the dog's not responsible, that it's merely a leaf in the wind being buffeted by physical laws, to me is like saying, at that moment in time, that dog bit a guy. We have no way of knowing whether that dog's ever going to do it again, so let it go.
Well, no, because
that's saying the dog's not responsible.
doesn't mean we can't look at statistics. I mean, come on.
No, I think once the dog has demonstrated the threat,
as soon as you recognize that tendency resides with that dog, you are talking about. Or let's not make
we're not
dogs now.
We're not blaming it. We're not blaming
yeah,
it.
Yeah, make it a boulder rolling down a hill that's going to crush
people.
Blame? Well, that's what people use responsibility for.
Yeah.
That's why I was saying in the sense that most people would use that term,
responsibility
to apply to things.
Yeah, yeah, I don't mean that at all.
Yeah.
And yet, I think that that to say that. That we're just robots, just programmed for these various arguments.
Well, I agree.
It's silly. And we have 1 minute left in the show.
Well,
they're going,
say,
to, they're going to go ahead and start the closing music
okay.
when
Uh-oh.
It is time to do that. Do you have an outro for us, guys?
I do have an outro.
I believe you should begin. And thanks, everyone, for listening. This was a rough show.
This is cool.
And thanks for listening. We will be back in on the first Wednesday in next month.
Captain's Log Addendum. The natives are proving extremely resistant to reason, especially the ones in the Catholic schoolgirl uniforms. Perhaps if I sleep with them. I recommend a long-term re-education effort. Next log entry in 14 days. Dennis Lubay, out.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Go ahead and roll the music, guys.